Kalamazoo square dance band Bowhunter has come out with their first album called Right Hands Round, and they'll be officially releasing it Monday at Square Dance Kalamazoo's monthly shindig at Bell's Brewery. Sam Cooper and Sam Herman of Bowhunter are here with me today. Thanks for being here, both Sams.
Hi.
It's great to be here.
So you guys play for square dances all over Michigan. Why did you decide that you wanted to put this all together in an album?
That's a good question. We had a lot of interesting discussions about how to try to capture what we do on on a recording. We were all inspired to form this band in order to be a dance band. So to sort of revive the marriage between dancers and musicians and how that tradition works together. And we're all freelance musicians. And so a lot of us do lots of different styles of music. But I think we all fell in love with old-time music because it's very much about the synergy between dancers and musicians. And so when we play, that's who we're playing for, is the dancers. And that can be hard to capture live.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because there's definite energy that comes back and forth from the band on stage, the dancers on the floor. And when you're trying to play those tunes outside of that element, it's tricky to carry that energy into a recording. But I think we did a pretty good job with it. I'm really happy listening back, and we have good energy to the recording.
So was kind of the goal to sell this album and kind of help other dance groups get started up? Or, you know, are you just trying to get what you have on the record? So, you know, almost like preserving what you have and preserving that kind of music.
Yes and no. I think it was more like a project idea to showcase some of the energy that happens as a dance band. There's some dance tracks on there, as well as tracks that reflect on us individually as musicians working in a group, and to kind of carry and showcase some of the energy from the dance floor without having energy on the dance floor. I don't know.
Yeah, and one other component of the dances that we play is that they're always called by a caller. So there's somebody with a microphone saying, you know, right hands round, or, you know, giving all these instructions for people to dance together. And that's not on the recording, but something I think we did capture is the energy of playing for a dance, and also the culture of just jamming together. So we have dance tunes on the record. We also have some traditional ballads and some original dance tunes or songs. And we also have outtakes and jokes all throughout the record. So to us, it feels a lot like hanging out at home and just jamming together, which I think is a big part of this tradition, is kind of kitchen music, playing in your house with friends, not necessarily needing to be really professional about it, but just having fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
So when you are producing dance music, square dance music, you know, obviously it's not bluegrass, you know, it's not quite folk, you know, mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you have to keep in mind when you're doing this? You know, like, are they all 4-4 time, or what do you have to think about?
There's some waltzes, so they do play some things along those lines. But for the most part, the music that we're playing is dance music, and is either like 2-4 or 4-4. Has to be a square tune, usually, because the call dances are set to the measure of the pattern of the tune, and we like playing crooked tunes, but those don't get along so well with the caller when all of a sudden they're not on the same measure that we're on.
Some callers are okay with it. It depends on the caller, I think.
Yeah. But so a lot of the tunes are in a square set. So there's a 2A parts, 2B parts, have to have a good drive to them, and still like intricate enough of a tune to keep everyone's attention and energy up, but at the same time have enough of a simple rhythm to them to make them driving and make people want to dance to it. And we did feature some singing tunes on the album, which kind of deviate from that, but we have a number of fiddle tunes on there that are definitely square dance tunes.
And there's a song called The Last Waltz, The Last Song of the Night, and it's a waltz, and we'll traditionally play at least a few waltzes each dance. Before we take a break, we'll do a waltz. So that's a song. That's an original by Michael Beauchamp that we all love to sing together.
The songs where you do have vocals on there are very beautiful. I mean, they're really well harmonized and things like that. You know, why did you make that decision to put vocal tracks on there as well?
I think it was because an album of all just fiddle tunes kind of is really exciting to some people. I mean, some of my favorite albums are like that, but some of my favorite albums also are a mix of things where you get other elements of the old time music tradition in there, and singing either solo or harmonies are definitely part of that. And we thought this was a good opportunity to showcase that, because there's so many talented people in this group that it would kind of be a shame not to have some of that showcased on there. And we had a lot of fun with it. It was kind of tricky to do that, because we play so much as a square dance band. It was a little bit out of left field for us to work on that, but I think we did really good with it. I had a lot of fun. It was a new thing for me too.
You know, you guys are pretty young for playing this type of music. How did you both individually get into square dance and into square dance music?
That's an excellent question. I grew up playing violin with my sister and my father, and through the Suzuki method, my dad taught both of us. And our family friend was Les Raber, who's a well-known Michigan fiddler. So I had some lessons with him. But I didn't really get the bug, I think, until I started going to the Wheatland Music Festival in my late teens, early 20s. And I ran into this great scene of folks in Kalamazoo that comprised the band the Celery City Sodbusters, with Richard Whitfield and Marilyn Branch. And I started jamming with them and learning a lot of their common tunes, and I just loved it. And after college, I went to West Virginia and was floored because I saw this incredible traditional music, but also with the other part of it, which is the dancing. So really fast traditional music with great dancing. And I came back to Kalamazoo and I was like, where is the dancing in this equation? So me and Marilyn and Richard and a bunch of friends founded Square Dance Kalamazoo, which is the monthly event that seeks to revive that tradition. So that's how I got the bug. What about you, Sam?
I started playing banjo when I was 11 and really hadn't gravitated entirely into traditional music, old time music, until a few years into that. And there's a twice a month contra dance that happens in Lansing, and I'm on one of the boards that organizes at the Looking Glass Traditional Arts and Music Association, and or Looking Glass Music and Arts Association, sorry. And through being involved with that and helping organize the dances and run sound and just kind of enveloped in that community, I wound up going to a music festival that happens in Indiana when I was like 16 or 17 with a friend. And that's when definitely totally had the bug. Going down there and playing tunes till the wee hours of the morning, and watching people square dance and flatfoot and clog to this music, and then continued going to festivals and playing around the Michigan area with people. There's a really vibrant traditional music scene in Michigan, and it was really, really cool to see just how universal it was. And you go outside of, you know, Michigan, you go to other places, how this music is a universal language, with different dialects, but a universal language between all these different people, and dance is part of that too. And the different traditions in different communities. I don't know, I can't imagine like another, you know, I can't imagine my life without that being a part of it. Now it's a really, really great community.
The way that you describe the album, the way that you describe that you came into this, it seems like kind of a lifestyle more than just a music and a dance. You know, would you say that's true?
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah. And we should say too, the other half of our band is Laurel Primo and Michael Beauchamp of Red Tail Ring. That's their main project, the amazing, amazing music project. And they have also been playing music all their lives. Laurel was in a family band that played traditional music growing up in the UP, for example. So I think we've all had it running through our lives for most of our lives. We've been lucky. A lot of our parents played this music and shared it with us. And so it feels really rich. And we all have a passion for collecting music. We're all songwriters or tune writers, but we also love to collect the music from different friends and different places. So I think that's where we all meet first and foremost.
So how many square dance bands would you say there are in Michigan?
Oh, there's a good number. It's being an organizer of a dance, it's hard to fit everyone in a season. There's a lot of bands. There's a lot of musicians, and that's just in Michigan. And then there's some really amazing players in the Chicago area and Indiana and Ohio. And you start, you know, the further you stretch out, the more and more musicians there are. I don't know.
It's more rare for there to be a square dance band of folks that are so young, though. That is more rare in the Midwest and in Michigan.
Yeah.
What about in Southwest Michigan?
I don't know. I'm more of a mid-Michigan person coming from Lansing.
I think there's a good handful. There's also a tradition of people just going in and out of different bands and projects and playing together, so it's hard to count.
Do you feel like with this band, because you are so young, that you're kind of helping to not only revive this sort of square dance tradition in this area, but also to kind of bring in new people and, you know, people who never thought that they would be square dancing?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's a bit of a resurgence. It's always been a pretty vital thing, but it kind of has dropped off as of late. So it's nice to see people who haven't done it before or thought of it as being like, you know, a different version of square dancing with, you know, polka dot shirts and poofy dresses and, you know, and dancing to recorded music rather than live music. And
yeah, that's an entirely different thing.
Yeah. And what we're doing is, you know, live bands and people, coming together in a community that get to know each other on like a first and last name basis. And, you know, they start, you know, getting, you know, involved in wanting to volunteer or learn to play music or learning to call. And it's really vibrant to see how welcoming it is as well. There's, you know, it's great being a called style of dance that you just have to know your right from your left and walk and you can learn. It's really, really kind of a good gateway.
I would say too that I think the other unifying force with our band is that we're all organizers in one capacity or another. So we've all done a lot of work with music, organizing people, and myself and Michael and Laurel are all part of the Earthwork Music Collective. So we do lots of benefits or work with kids or different festivals, and Sam, like all of us, are We didn't yet talk about how funny it is that we're both named Sam. We usually call him Banjo Sam, and I'm just Sam, I guess. but we also do booking and promoting for square dance events. So we view these dances as a tool for community building and
totally.
A tool for creating connections in the community.
You know, do you feel like that energy, that reaction from the audience is just so much more there in when you're playing for these dances versus just playing for, you know, a bunch of people kind of standing at a venue?
I think so. Just as we've gotten to play together, we've gotten more and more familiar with each other's playing. And the energy that comes out of that is really something. Playing for a performance is a little different than a dance because you polish a piece and you put it up on stage and you present it and you wait to see what the feedback is from the audience. And whereas at a dance, the whole time you're playing, it's steeped in a tradition. So there's a way of playing it, but you're kind of improvising on that tradition. And each time you play it, it comes out a little different and you're getting a constant feedback from the people on the floor. There's a symbiotic energy that happens with the dancers all the time. And a concert, it's a little different where you're just kind of like, I hope you like this. And when it comes back and they do, it's really gratifying. said playing for dances is really, really gratifying.
And I think there are, sometimes I view it as more active participation as opposed to more passive participation from the audience, because listening is definitely a form of participation, and oftentimes people will dance of their own volition. Mm-hmm. But it's nice because if you're playing for a dance, it's called. So somebody's telling you just how to dance, and it's a social dance, so everybody's got a partner, and that often switches every dance, and we encourage that. We encourage people to meet new friends and to ask new people to dance. So it's kind of like a paint by numbers. It's like you're told how you can actively participate, and it's unusual. Usually it doesn't work out quite that way if you just go to a concert.
Yeah. Though even at a dance, there's a lot of room to have fun, and you know, you're not like, you know, it's there's structure, but there's no regimentation. Like you know, you can have a lot of fun out on the dance floor. I think besides being musicians, both Sam and Laurel and Michael and I all kind of came to this as dancers as well. We all love to dance, and the fun you get to have out on the dance floor is something else.
Yeah, I feel like it would be probably so much more gratifying to play to dancers and then see them be like, oh, you know, this song and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. than to play to a crowd and be like, oh God, I hope they clap.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you know, if they like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard not to jump up and dance yourself. So,
so let's talk about some of the favorites on this album.
Sure.
Cool. What's some of yours, Sam?
One of my favorites is actually by Banjo Sam Herman. It's called Don't Call Me Late for Supper, and it's an original.
Yeah, one of the few tunes that I've written. But this kind of just, the tune came to me at a Thanksgiving party a couple of years ago, and just needed to be a thing. I really wasn't intending to write it, and it just kind of came out, and I really like it. It was really cool, though, to finally get to play it as a fiddle tune, because I wrote it on the banjo, but I always wanted to hear it kind of grow beyond that. And there's a bit of a tradition in old-time music and traditional music of writing tunes and having them go out into the community, and whether they're accepted in that community and played by other people and shared and spread. And we play tunes, and there's some tunes on this album that are in that tradition that were written by other Midwestern or other old-time musicians that were new creations by them, but are now totally enveloped and taken into the traditional fold as new old-time music. I was really happy to have that piece be part of this in that tradition. But one of those is Sam and Laurel play Elleville, which is written by a friend of ours from Chicago, Fred Campeau. And it's just a great haunting fiddle tune that sometimes played as like a large, you know, full string band style tune. And Sam and Laurel play it as a fiddle duet. And it's really beautiful. It's one of my favorites on the album.
So kind of haunting as in it's a little bit slower, a little bit still a dance tune, or is this more of just a tune?
It's more of a tune. It's a crooked tune, so it's not square, so it'd be tricky to have as a dance tune. But it's a little bit slower and really sweet, and you can really hear how the dynamic between Sam and Laurel, how long they've been playing together, and that kind of the friendship that there is in that music. It's really cool.
And we originally heard that song from the Volo Bogtrotters, which is a band, a Midwest band that we love. And we also really enjoy geeking out about the sources of these tunes and where they started and the outcroppings of them and how different people have interpreted them over time. And so we have some notes on our CD packaging, which was printed by our band member, Laurel Primo, who is a graphic designer and a printmaker. So she designed a lot of our graphics and the CD, but we were excited to put some sourcing notes on the packaging, and also we'll have extra notes on our website with the stories of the songs.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And any others that you wanted to talk about?
Well, let's see. Patter Roller is really fun. That one starts out actually with fiddlesticks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Laurel's playing fiddle on that, and then Michael is playing fiddlesticks, where you play a counter rhythm or accompanying rhythm with sticks on the fiddle strings up on the fingerboard. You're not necessarily playing notes or harmonics, but it's something in between that, where you get this rhythmic sound on top of the actual melody and the bowing and the rhythm that the fiddle is generating. And then I come in on banjo on that piece, and then the fiddle comes in, and then the guitar comes in, and it kind of just builds into this dance tune. But it starts as a little more something different than that.
So fiddlesticks is actually a thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
All right. Learn something new every day.
So. So we have kind of a mix of all four of us playing together, or some of us doing a duet, like Laurel and Sam do a nice duet called Roll on John, mm-hmm. with banjos.
Yep. Laurel and I both learned that from the playing of Mike Seeger, who is just a powerhouse.
A giant in the scene.
Oh, yeah. Did so much work archiving and recording and sending this old music forward into new generations. And I was very pleased to get to know Mike a little bit, and I was always very enamored with his playing and his personality. But we both learned this tune from a recording that he did called Southern Banjo Sounds. It's just on Smithsonian Folkways recordings. And she suggested playing this piece, and I thought, well, that'd be really cool. And I had to work up a low banjo part. I play an octave banjo as a backup to Laurel's really excellent fingerstyle banjo playing on that piece, and she sings it beautifully.
Very cool. I think that's about all that I had. Was there anything else that you just wanted people to know about the album, about your music, anything?
Well, our CD release is being hosted by Square Dance Kalamazoo, which happens typically on the second Monday of every month. So that will be this coming Monday, August 11th. And we have a few upcoming shows. We're really excited to play at the Wheatland Music Festival this year. We'll be playing the Friday Night Dance. And we'll be playing the Oshtemo Grange Hall on September 13th.
Great. Well, hopefully people will come out.
So. We'd love to see them and hear their feet there.
That was Sam Cooper and Sam Herman of Kalamazoo Square Dance Band Bow Hunter. They'll release their new album, Right Hands Round, as they said before, at Square Dance Kalamazoo event Monday night at 7:30 at Bell's Brewery. For WMUK, I'm Rebecca Thiel.